Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
My father played golf, as did his father, who was sufficiently connected to the golf establishment so that the two of them once played a round at Augusta, where I'm pretty sure you have to know somebody. It was my father who introduced me to the game. My only club on that day was a discarded 5-iron that had been cut down and re-gripped by an alcoholic assistant pro named Joe. I don't remember how many holes we played, perhaps only one, but one shot I hit lives in infamy. It left my 5-iron, climbed improbably toward the fairway of the hole to the left of the one my father and I were playing, and bounced off the windshield of the Jeep a groundskeeper had parked in the high grass between the two holes. Golf balls are hard. Even one hit in the wrong direction by a flailing child can do some damage, and this one did. It cracked the windshield on the old Jeep. Unless that windshield was already cracked, which in retrospect seems likely. But that wouldn't have been much of a story for my golf-playing father, and so our first day on the course together became the day I hit a ball that broke the greenskeeper's windshield. In a world of neater stories and tidier father-son relationships, the day of the cracked windshield would have begun a string of sunny afternoons on a series of green golf courses which I'd eventually have played with expertise, perhaps even with joy. But in the late 50s and early 60s, golf seemed to me slow and boring. I associated it with long waits, blisters, and drunks in the locker room telling jokes I recognized as witless and insulting by the time I was 9. Besides that, I'd developed a slice. By the mid-60s, I knew with a hard certainty that I can just remember that golf would soon go the way of colonial empires and letting them eat cake. Golf courses would be appropriated for organic farming. The paneled playhouses of the aristocracy, the country clubs, would be turned over to the bent and broken men who had previously carried the clubs of the barons and the moguls, desperately hoping for adequate tips. So I had not swung a club in several decades until a few years ago, when a story I was writing about night golf required me to attempt to hit a glowing ball into the invisible reaches of a school playground. For sentiment's sake, I chose a 5-iron. Improbably, in the dark, my swing felt right, and the shot was straight as a string.